Get ready for Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Listen in as Doug and Aaron provide helpful tips on how to get ready. Ready or not, here comes Ready Radio.
Good morning, everybody. You're listening to Ready Radio, and this week we are going to be talking about what everybody has been talking about all week long, which is, of course, Ebola.
This week we're going to have a special guest on air. He's calling from Missouri, Dr. Gil Mobley, who happens to be the doctor that walked into the Atlanta airport wearing a Tyvek suit that said the CDC is lying on the back of it.
That's right. And we've been trying for a couple of weeks now to get Dr. Gil in to talk to us about why he thought that was necessary. And it, over the past couple of weeks, as this guest has, you know, really emerged in the public scene, at first, you know, a lot of people were saying, well, my goodness, you know, why take this kind of, you know, extreme stance. But I think that the events of the last 2 weeks have really borne out his idea.
Well, I mean, sometimes to get people to pay attention to you, you have to be a little extreme. I mean, the let's take the civil rights movement. They didn't get their rights by just sitting back and saying, oh, we want their rights and nobody's listening. No, they did their sit-ins and they did their marches and they got extreme.
Well, he really led the curve. And I think that's something that's really interesting about this, is because he was in the forefront. He was before the public attention was really brought to it. And then after he did his demonstration saying, you know, walking through the Hartsfield-Jackson airport, the world's busiest airport, with a Tyvek suit that said the CDC is lying. After that, then we start to see all of this unfold. We get patient zero in Mr. Duncan, the late Mr. Duncan out in Texas. We have two homegrown cases emerge here in the U.S. We are starting to get reports now of people in Connecticut, people in Virginia, people all over having yesterday.
Carnival Cruise Line.
Getting turned away in Belize. I mean, this has gone haywire over the last 2 weeks. And he was at the very beginning, he was at the forefront. I mean, Dr. Mobley has been not only on our show, but he has been making the media circuit. I mean, you've heard him on Sean Hannity. He's been on Fox News. He's been everywhere spreading his message. And this is the first chance that he's going to really get to talk to not only our community of people who are interested in emergency preparedness, but also to give a little more depth, because he's going to have, you know, our second segment pretty much fully to be able to explain his position. Not just sound bites, not just a drive-by media presentation, but really digging into what's going on and why he felt this was necessary and how he knew it was coming.
I'm really interested in finding out what exactly his motivation was for going into the Hartsfield-Jackson Airport in that suit. I mean, that just amazed me when I saw that on the news. I was like, look at this guy. He's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, it really caught both of our attention. And we were discussing this at one of our lunch meetings about, you know, what topics we were going to cover in Ready Radio. And when that broke, you were just all over it. You were like, we've got to get this guy. And you called him immediately. And he was very excited to come on the show. But, of course, you know, he had so many other obligations that it's been kind of difficult to get all of this worked out. But here he is today. He's going to be calling in for our next segment. We're going to be able to get into his mindset on why he knew this was coming. I think that's critical.
And we had a couple of interviews set up with him where we didn't get to talk to him because he's been having some phone issues as well.
That's true. And I think that may be telling in the long run about, you know, not only how busy he is, but also, you know, the level of attention that he's garnered. You know, we sit here and say, it's important to know what's going to be happening and be prepared for everything. Be prepared for eventualities that you're unaware of what's going to happen next. But he was able to predict what was coming. And this is a prediction that the highest levels of government, to steal a phrase I heard that our illustrious president used, the highest level of government dismissed this and said that we don't have to worry. It was, what, 2.5, 3 weeks ago that our president said it's highly unlikely that Ebola will ever reach the United States, that the average American does not have to worry about catching Ebola. And even just this last week, the head of the CDC goes on and gives an interview where he says that It's the average person doesn't have to worry about catching Ebola on a bus. You can't catch Ebola on a bus. And the next question is, well, what about someone who is symptomatic for Ebola? Should they take public transit? And he says, well, no. The answer again is no, they shouldn't take public transit because they could transmit it. So apparently,
on the bus.
Yeah, on the bus. So apparently you can transmit Ebola on a bus, but you can't catch Ebola on a bus.
Which and makes no sense whatsoever.
You've got the nurse cleared by the CDC to fly back from Ohio to Dallas, even though she was running a fever. And she called them. Apparently, from the reports I've heard, she's called them 5 times saying, I have a fever. I was one of the people who was in Presbyterian Hospital with Duncan. I need to know, am I safe to fly? And they said, yeah, sure, go ahead and fly. And then when she gets back to Dallas, what happens? She's diagnosed with Ebola.
And now we have a plane that's taken out of service, and they're bleaching and stripping all the carpet.
But not before it had made 5 separate flights.
5 flights, yes. And one of them to our beloved Hartsfield Jackson Airport.
And Florida and Dallas.
Cleveland three times.
Every time it went back to Cleveland. But I mean, so we've got Dallas, we've got Cleveland, we've got Florida, we've got Georgia, and we've got all sorts of things going on between what I've heard about a patient just Friday who was vomiting in a parking lot who had come from Africa and is being tested for Ebola now. I believe it was Virginia. We've got I heard about a case in Connecticut just a week ago. We've got this is getting out of control. To steal a phrase from one of my favorite movies, you know, former Senator Fred Thompson said, this thing will get out of control. It will get out of control and we'll be lucky to live through it. And Ebola has that potential. It has the potential to become a worldwide pandemic. The World Health Organization is predicting 10,000 new cases in Western Africa, but 10,000 new cases a week.
You know, if I get this, I want to go to Emory. It seems like Emory saves the life of every person that they get that goes to Emory.
Well, not only do they save the lives of everyone they get, but our president is off kissing the nurses over there to prove.
I saw that in, what was it, Yahoo News? Mm-hmm. He said that he kissed the nurses to prove that you couldn't catch Ebola.
Yeah, there you go.
Didn't we impeach Clinton for something along those lines? Just saying.
Yeah, well, you know, I suppose any chance to
kind of leave a little credibility to that whole White House divorce thing you see in the tabloids. Have you seen this?
Back, you know, 50 years ago, politicians kissed babies. Now in the new millennium, they kissed nurses. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're looking at, and what's the government's response? What is the government doing to make sure that we're safe? Well, the president appoints a person, finally, after 3 weeks of this.
He appoints
one person to be in charge of the response.
Now, isn't this guy like a spin doctor?
Well, yeah. The guy that was picked, he was the former chief of staff for both Vice President Al Gore while he was vice president and Vice President Joe Biden.
So if we were looking for honesty out of this guy, sorry, people, he's a spin doctor. He's going to make us feel better about it, but he's not necessarily going to be honest.
It's a political brokerage job. And what he's doing is he's trying to manage the expectations and the response to all of this. And he's not a medical professional. He has no medical background, although with the head of the CDC saying that you can transmit it, but you can't catch it on the same bus. I don't know if being a medical professional is necessarily what we need.
You know, when I read that about the head of the CDC saying that, I thought, the lights are on in nobody's home.
That's a really telling condemnation. And I guess it's a good lead-in for talking to Dr. Mobley.
Because the wheel's spinning, but the hamster's not running. You know what I'm saying? This guy's not the brightest crayon in the box. And I'm kind of worried about, this is the person that's in charge of making sure we don't all die from this? I think we're in trouble.
Well, I think that you've seen a response to that, because instead of sending more patients here to Emory, which is where the CDC is headquarters on the Emory campus,
they send them to New Hampshire.
Now they're sending them to the National Institute of Health.
Wait a minute. That's not New Hampshire. That's Maryland.
Right.
It's Bethesda, Maryland.
And we've got a completely different entity and agency now taking point on this. And in Bethesda, you know, has a naval hospital, and it is a premier treatment facility in all the world. And, you know, there's nothing to besmirch them. Emory is a premier treatment facility. They're starting to remove cases from these smaller hospitals to put them into major places where they can get better care and be more in line with having, you know, life-saving treatment.
Well, but it's not only better care, but I believe it's also more research on it, because really we see what's going on overseas. But the only people we know that really knows about Ebola is the doctors that were going overseas and helping treat people for Ebola. So basically that first doctor and first nurse that were flown into Emory were probably the best people for information about actual Ebola that we have.
That's true. And we don't have a lot of firsthand information. I mean, Duncan was turned away by Presbyterian Hospital when he first showed up. And I think that that may have contributed to his untimely demise. I mean, we saw them do miracles with the people who were brought over from Africa to Emory, but they were caught early. They knew that they had Ebola early. They, when the air ambulance went over there, I remember reading a story that it brought them medicine when it went over there. Then they were treated. They were stabilized. Then they were only then brought back to Atlanta and treated here. So it was very early detection. It was very early treatment. It got an early response. And here you have Mr. Duncan, who wanders in and then is sent away for at the minimum hours and in more like days. And he did not receive treatment timely. And then he died. And
well, the same thing with the Nina Fan then, you know, the first nurse. Her problem, she had a fever, she calls in, they automatically get her, they respond quickly, they seclude her and get her away from everybody, and they test her, and sure enough, she's Ebola positive. So they treat her very quickly, and now they've transferred her to another hospital, yes, but she has improved in condition to the point that she did a video interview with her doctor day before yesterday, and it was put online. You can go and look that one up.
We'll try to have a link for everybody on our website as well. You know, folks, this is really the issue of our time right now. I mean, this is a pandemic that is sweeping Africa. It is getting ready to explode here. Everybody needs to be better prepared. They need to be thinking about how they're going to respond. They need to be holding the government accountable for their mistakes and missteps and make sure that this works out the way it's supposed to and not turn worse than it could. And folks, we are going to have Dr. Gil Mobley on in just a few seconds. He's going to help discuss his reasoning, his line of thinking, and we will be back in just a minute. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now back to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Ready Radio, and we are here today with Dr. Gil Mobley, who was the doctor who went to Hartsfield-Jackson Airport and who had worn his protective clothing with the words, "The CDC is lying" in the back. Welcome, Dr. Gil.
Thank you for having me and allow me to get the message out.
We're glad to have you. We were very interested in your story the minute we saw it. When I saw it breaking on the news here in the Atlanta area, I was like, we have got to get this guy on. Our listeners will love him.
Besides, I'm from Atlanta.
You are from Atlanta.
Lakeside High School, eighth generation Georgian, related to Jimmy Carter. You know, I'm glad for Obama. He's no longer despite the worst president of our lifetime now. So
doctor, what inspired you to take this kind of, what some would say, a drastic measure to bring attention to the issue of Ebola and the CDC's response?
This disease has been ravaging West Africa for 8 months, and the White House says we're prepared. Yet in the trenches, the doctors, we've known that clusters are going to come. They're saying the chances are very, very little. There's a huge disconnect from what the WHO was saying, what the CDC is saying, and what the doctors know, what the public can connect the dots and just understand. And the bottom line is, if they're not lying, they're incompetent.
And if
it's not that, Aaron, I'm scared. I think it's a dose of incrementalism, the drip of bad news, because they know we can't handle the truth. For instance, the best example came last week when they changed the definition of contagious and contact to standing 3 feet away. No longer touch somebody and touch your face. It's so they say you can catch it from 3 feet away. But, don't use the A word. Don't use A, you know, the airborne word. There's just this huge disconnect. You know, the very same week, who said it's inevitable it's going to show up in industrialized countries? The CDC and Obama was echoing it, saying there's an extremely small chance. And we just understood that it's going to happen. And lo and behold, Mr. Duncan shows up, and it just goes to hell in a handbasket at that point.
And we're watching this unfold in front of us, and every day there's new news. There's another nurse, and then there's another nurse. And
you know, Robin Cook wrote the book years ago, Contagion, and he says we ought to write a new book, but you couldn't do a more sensational story. It's the worst case scenario plays out day by day, hour by hour, and almost minute by minute. I thought we were going to have a day without any horrible bad news, but the White House, you know, I'm all for a czar. Every time Fried and Fauci or Obama open their mouth, it's two steps forward and three steps back. I said, change the messenger, for Christ's sake. You've lost all credibility. And But now this White House czar has no medical experience at all. He can't even probably spell epidemiology.
And we were just talking about him. He's a spin doctor. Like, historically, he's a spin doctor. So
he's a talking head. He's a yes man. I thought, this is getting worse. And then what else? I just pulled up on my phone moments ago. 800 people are now being sought from Frontier Airlines, because that's how many people rode on the five subsequent plane rides, the jet, before it was taken out of service. And they're saying it's hard to get. Yeah, that's why they scrubbed this plane four times at $100,000 a piece. You tell it's hard to get to the cameraman, the NBC cameraman that caught it from a car. You tell that to the nurse whose dog they killed in Spain is hard to catch. You know, it's just this huge disconnect.
So what's going to happen next, Dr. Gill? Because I see this turning into a huge pandemic, and I'm really concerned that they're going to have to do sanatoriums like they did with tuberculosis.
Oh, you know, we're going to have, yes, what's going to happen next is it's going to get into third world countries. And you know the CDC is not going to fly plane loads of people into those third world countries. And when that happens, it's going to devastate it for the same reason the perfect storm had devastated West Africa. Deplorable sanitation, devastated health structure from years of conflict, and distrust in the government. And when it does, we'll be importing clusters every single minute. Because remember, we live next door. Our next door neighbors is one of the biggest third world countries on the planet. And the doors are wide open. And
yes,
look
sir.
What just one case has done. One case. You know, we've got to close the borders. I don't think we're going to be able to, but this bodes poorly. Yes, I don't know about the centers we're going to have. We're going to have to separate the people with fevers. We're going to have to get them out of the hospitals because, you know, we can't quarantine 100 people every time someone walks in with Ebola. And we're going to have fever triage centers if clusters start, where you keep the fevers out of the hospital. One of the rules of medicine is not make a bad situation worse. When we go to a scene, someone's bleeding from a gunshot wound, we don't know, go near that guy. We let him bleed to death, and it's not been secured by law enforcement because we're not going to subject our equipment and our people for that. So we need to keep the fevers out and have Ebola triage or fever triage centers, and then Ebola treatment centers if this goes bad.
Well,
it's not if, it's going to be when. But it, Lord may intervene. We may get a vaccine, but we still have to start planning for it. Right now, they're telling the CDC, the CDC is saying send people right now if you don't think you're equipped. They said last week any hospital could do it. Now they're saying send it to the level four biocontainment units. You know how many total beds of level four biocontainment units are at those four units? 11 in the whole country.
Wow. Doctor, you know, we're coming into cold and flu season, too. How are we going to be able to triage people who just have the flu versus...
That's one of the big points. Number one, don't wait on the feds to tell you how. Right now, hospitals should be having tabletop exercises this week and drills next week. And number two, get your flu shot. You don't want to be a person with the flu symptoms that mimics Ebola with the nausea, vomiting, the headache, the low-grade fever, the diarrhea, and everything else. Get your flu shot. You don't want to be in that area as well.
And, Doctor, I know that we're running short on time with you, but I wanted to ask a very important question.
Yes.
What can our listeners do as far as their representation in D.C. to make sure that something is happening? What should they be calling their congressman and saying about this?
Close the borders already. A million people are in quarantine on the continent of West Africa with Ebola, yet 10,000 fly out daily on 35 nonstops around the world. Close the borders already. It's not reasonable saying we got to get the health people in and out, service workers and the equipment. Use the military for that. Number two, just like the state of Connecticut, declare a state of emergency, but get the reserves and National Guard out. Train them to do the basic supportive care, because you can always train a monkey to do the bedpans and start an IV. Besides, that's all we're going to have if this hits the fan. Everybody's not going to have ventilators. Everybody's not going to have central lines and dialysis. And prepare households, should there be some contamination. And lastly, there are things like thermal passports, where we're going to have to follow people's temperatures for days before letting them into non-infected areas. We just have to think outside the box. I'd love to visit with you more. Have me on again next week, but I've just got to run.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you. SurvivingEbola.org. SurvivingEbola.org. I'm self-funded. I gave all my life, every cent, to Guatemala. I'm in New York City. I could use a donation just to help to sustain us here. My clinic's hurting. I've wasted all the funds on that, on the expenses here. I could use some help. But more importantly, there's some important information and the five things I say we need to do, like prepare the household, stop non-essential, declare a state of emergency, call out the National Guard, the fever centers, and thermal passports. All that's listed on there. I'm trying to add content daily. But thank you, Aaron. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We will link to you on our website. Folks, you've been listening to Ready Radio here on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now back to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Ready Radio, and that was a powerful, powerful segment with Dr. Gil Mobley. I was really just amazed at his fervor and his passion about this. This is a man who has not only taken the limelight in the lead in trying to get people aware of what Ebola could be before it broke, before it happened, before we had Duncan, and before we had all the problems. He knew it was coming, and he was out there trying to get attention for it. And now he is investing his own livelihood. He's investing his own money. He's walked away from a profitable medical practice to be able to get attention to this. He says he's poured his lifeblood into Guatemala. This is a man who is acting as a missionary, going out and providing essential medical services to people who are poor and destitute, and trying to keep people alive in a third world country. And he sees Ebola coming. He sees it leaving West Africa, coming into Central America, wiping through like a plague, coming up through Mexico with open borders, sweeping into this country. It is a terrifying prospect. And here is someone who is trying their hardest. We will have his website on our website. Please go to readyradio.net. Click on that. Go help Dr. Mobley with his cause. We cannot thank him enough for his time, his attention, his energy. I am just blown away.
I think that he brought up a very important point, that we have the world's largest third world country to our south, and that it's very concerning that those borders are open, that people are allowed to just flood through them daily, and that anything, they could bring anything with them. And we've seen a recent surge in tuberculosis coming from that. Mexico. I mean, seriously, coming through Mexico, tuberculosis, smallpox, not to mention the bed bug epidemic.
Yes.
And what else could come through? Well, Ebola could come through. They don't have the medical advances we do, and there's nobody at those stations.
Well, Aaron, I know that you've visited the Mexico border. That's something I've never done.
I have. I was a freight expediter for quite a while, and I visited Laredo on the regular, and El Paso. And as you drive through El Paso, you can see Mexico from the interstate. You can just look to your left as you're going out of El Paso and into New Mexico, and you can see Mexico and the border and the fence, and it's a giant fence, but it's not going to keep anybody out if they want to climb it.
Well, when people are fighting for their lives or fleeing for their lives, and this is how, you know, pandemics start, is because people are fleeing in terror, and there's not a way to control them. And Dr. Mobley very wisely stated, let the military do this. I mean, he says, let's send the military to West Africa and shut it down. Shut down our borders. And you know, this is not something, you know, the CDC, and this is what made me angry. I got really angry when I heard the CDC say, well, shutting down air traffic is going to be detrimental. It's going to keep people from getting the help they need. You know, the truth of the matter is that every responsible, sane country on this planet is contemplating shutting down its borders.
Or already has.
When the Carnival cruise ship carrying somebody who was not even yet infected with Ebola, who had just worked in the hospital where Duncan was treated, was going to Belize. Belize turned around and said, no,
you are
denied entry to our ports because you have someone who has the possibility of getting the
Ebola.
Disease.
Mm-hmm.
The possibility. Turn the ship around. Turn around those thousand of tourists who are coming to a poor country who are going to pour real capital into all these buildings during the end of the tour season.
We don't want your money. We don't want your Ebola or your money. Just turn around. Take it home. Take it on home.
And the spin we get from the White House spin doctors, and the spin we get from the CDC, the spin we get from our government.
Oh, well, they're fearmongers. Well, they're just afraid. They're fearmongers.
What the government turns around and says is, we are working with Carnival to bring the cruise ship back out of an abundance of caution. That's not an abundance of caution. What happened is they were denied entry to the port. They were not allowed in. They weren't coming back out of an abundance of caution. They were turned away at the door and said, get out of here.
And can you blame Belize?
No, what I blame is us for not taking the same responsible, common sense, reasonable steps.
We've had this discussion about the video game pandemic.
Yes.
Yes. What happens with Madagascar when you play the game?
Shut down everything.
Shuts down, like, locked down. It's like prison lockdown. You can't get in, you can't get out. Nothing goes into Madagascar in the game. That's what Belize effectively just did. They're like, mm-mm. No, thank you.
Well, Belize isn't the only country.
No. Nope.
Saudi Arabia. France.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, they're every responsible nation is taking responsible steps. This is not fear-mongering. This is not an end of humanitarian aid. There is absolutely nothing about sending people to help control a pandemic that comes from shutting down air traffic coming into the country from certain countries. All you have to do is say that we are sending medical aid workers and they are going to be under a 21-day observation period before they come back in.
Or, you know, the update on that today was the WHO's not sure if 21 days is even enough.
That's a scary prospect. And the other thing is, you know, they're saying that they're going to look for fevers, right? Well, there's two sides to this problem. First is that you can have a fever from a lot of things. Like Dr. Mobley said, is that you can have a fever from the flu and you do not want to be showing up to a hospital with flu symptoms right now.
I don't know about you. I don't usually get a flu shot, but I think I'm going to take Dr. Gill's advice and get me a flu shot this week.
It's a daunting prospect.
I would rather have that flu shot and possibly get sick right this minute with flu-like symptoms, which is usually what happens to me, than 6 weeks from now when Ebola's out of control in this country and I'm going, oh, is this the flu or Ebola? And then suddenly I'm bleeding from the eyes. You know, I would rather...
Well, you know, the scary prospect is, let's say that they start to contain people who exhibit flu-like symptoms. So you end up going to the hospital with flu-like symptoms.
And you're contained with people that
potentially And you're contained with somebody who has it in the same room. We are within 3 feet of contact, which probably is, well, shoot, I'm going to say that's an intensely conservative number is 3 feet. If you can catch it off the plane, like the doctor was saying, 3 feet doesn't matter.
So you're quarantined. 30 feet is more of an accurate number. And the reason I say that is when a person sneezes, it sends little water droplets into the air. And those can travel an average of about 30 feet.
So you're contained in a room with one person. Let's say there's 20 people in the room, but you got one person who actually does have Ebola. All those 20 people are going to catch it.
Right.
All of them, you're going to come down.
Well, they're
going to
use the same toilet in the room. And I don't know if we've ever seen Mythbusters. I've seen Mythbusters. And they did this episode on Mythbusters where they tested the spray off of the toilet to see if it would put anything on the toothbrush, which is really disgusting. And why I keep my toothbrush in a closed area now instead of just out on the bathroom counter, because I don't like the idea. Fecal matter being on my toothbrush. I'm a little OCD about that. So anyway, when you use your toilet and you flush it, as it flushes, small, more than microscopic, very, very tiny particles of water and...
whatever's in there.
Sewage.
Gets thrown out.
Yellow or brown, it doesn't matter which. Flies into the air. Okay, so let's say we're going to use...
By the way, this is why toilets have seat covers.
Yes, so it is. It you should put it down and flush. But even then, there's gaps and a little bit comes out. So let's use a jail cell, for instance, okay? Say we're in the drunk tank and there's five drunks in there and one of them has Ebola symptoms and hasn't even mentioned it. And of course, you know, if you don't mention it, they're not going to pay any attention at the jail. They're going to book you and throw you in the lockdown, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he uses the bathroom and he goes to pee and he flushes the toilet and those small particles get in the air. I'm going to say that odds are 10 to 1 that everybody in the cell is going to get the Ebola from this guy, right? I would say that it's very easily spread. And the CDC says, well, it spreads like HIV. If you don't come in contact with somebody's fluids.
Close physical contact.
And I'm sorry, I'm calling baloney. I don't believe them. I think they're lying to us. I agree with Dr. Gill.
I agree, too. And I think that there is a high probability of transmission. Even though they say you can't catch it on a public bus, the truth is that you can. You can catch it from being exposed to someone who has it. And the safest choice that this government can make right now is to shut down air traffic. We need to shut down people coming from certain countries or people whose passports indicate that they have been to certain countries in the last month.
And I keep bringing up tuberculosis, but it was one of the last big epidemics in this country that wasn't flu or HIV. And when somebody came down with tuberculosis or had been really exposed to tuberculosis, if they were diagnosed, they were put and locked away from everybody else until they tested clear again. And here we've got people who have been exposed to somebody who was known to have Ebola for sure. and they're getting on airplanes.
This is a great part that we really do need to discuss, and I think that this is incredibly important, because what has the response been to people who have been exposed to this horrible virus? And the response has been lackluster. It has been disjointed.
Go plan your wedding, honey. It's okay. Plan your wedding and infect your entire family. Her entire family is in lockdown right now. The bridal store where she went to try on a dress, this was a lady that traveled to Cleveland. I can't recall her name. But the bridal store where she went to try on dresses, they're having to, I guess, burn everything. I bet they're pretty ticked. And here she is. She's got Ebola. She's being treated here at Emory, I believe. She was brought to Emory. And my condolences to you. I'm sorry if you're listening. You're very sick, and I hope you get better. But the CDC failed you.
Yes, the CDC failed all of us.
Yes.
And that's the honest truth. And she tried. This, you know, there'd be one thing if you could lay the blame on her and say, well, she snuck out. She tried
wrong.
To get away. She was breaking quarantine, and maybe we should have done more. That is not what happened. This woman did everything right. She did everything she should have done. She did everything right. She called the CDC from the reports I have five times. Five times and said, should I go? And they said, sure. Go ahead. It doesn't matter.
Because you have a fever that is 6/10 of a degree lower
than our cutoff.
So you're okay. 6/10 of a degree, you can go ahead and get on that plane and go visit your family and infect everyone. And this lady, so reluctant to do it, called four more times. I don't blame her in any way. I hope she gets better. Godspeed.
I hope everyone who contracts an illness gets better. I think that, you know, there is no person on this earth who deserves to suffer. But the truth
or
is...
Or deserves this. This is an awful illness.
Or any illness. Any illness. I don't want to see anybody...
I sneeze at you, Doug.
I don't see anybody who deserves to go through any illness.
No.
I mean, it's not... It is unfair. It's unjust. It's not right. It's the human nature. It's what happens. We live with it and we go on. But this particular disease is a horrific disease. And here we are. We wish nothing but the best to every single person who contracts this. But that number needs to be small. And the way we need to keep that number small is we need to demand action. This is a time to demand that our government do what's right, to do exactly what Belize did, to do exactly what Saudi Arabia has done, to do exactly what France has done, and every other responsible nation that looks at this.
And I believe that the key to not contracting this begins with cleanliness, just like the flu. They say that the thing is contracted like HIV. I think it's probably more like influenza. And I want to urge all of my listeners to wash your hands, to leave your shoes on your porch, to bleach your home. They say bleach is proven in killing Ebola. Bleach your floors. Bleach your counters, bleach your clothes if you have to, if you believe you've been exposed. Don't bring clothes into your house. Strip naked on your porch. Wash off with your water hose, whatever. I don't believe that this can be transmitted like HIV. I think it's more like influenza.
The truth is that we don't have to live in fear. We do not have to live in fear and run around thinking, oh my goodness, what do I do? What do I do? We're all going to die. The truth is that this is like any other disease. This is like any other illness out there. You can prepare for it. You can be responsible. You can be careful. And you can still do everything right and contract it. But if you take all the right steps, you increase your chances of staying healthy dramatically.
Right.
Then the second thing that we need to keep in mind, and this is a morbid thought, but it's something that we need to keep in mind, is that even in the worst case scenario, if we're talking about 100 million dead worldwide, if you compressed, you know, that down, you know, and evened it out throughout the world population, you'd be looking at a little over maybe 1 to 2 million dead in the U.S. And that is a horrific, scary number, terrifying number. But if your average grocery store on a Saturday morning has 300 people in it, that would mean that of those 300 people, if we had 1 million dead in the U.S., one person would be lost. So we need to keep this in perspective that... although it is a terrible disease, it is a tragedy if it gets out of hand, and we need to do everything we can to protect our families so that we are not that 1% that ends up perishing from contracting it. Still, the world will go on as it is. This is not the end of the world as we know it. This is not the super volcano. This is not the crazy stuff that we've talked about in the past. This is a real threat. This is something we can prepare for, we can be rational about, we can take charge of, we can protect ourselves, and we can stay balanced and in perspective. Folks, we are at past time for our commercial break. We'll be back in just a minute with Ready Radio here on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now back to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Ready Radio here on News Talk 1160. And this has been a powerful, powerful show. Aaron and I were talking during the commercial break that this we really believe this is one of the most important shows we have ever done, and trying to educate people and coming into what could be a terrible global pandemic, what we hope is only an isolated incident to awaken not only our listeners, but their friends and families as to the dangers of this world and to call for action. And I think that that is the guiding light of this show. When we said to Dr. Mobley, what should we be doing? I want our listeners to get on to their representatives. We are in an election cycle. There is, what, 20 days left until there's an election? There's every single member of the House of Representatives is staking their career on this election. One-third of all the senators, including from Georgia, on our local broadcast area, are up for re-election. And if they want to keep their jobs, if they want to secure their jobs, we need pledges from every single person who is standing for re-election this November that they are going to take a firm stance, that they are going to author legislation, that they are going to protect this nation
and
from
close our borders. Dr. Gill says you need to tell your representatives to close your borders. And we've been screaming this for a while, and the White House comes back and says, you know, stop and travel and closing the borders, that's not going to help anything.
Tell that to Belize.
I don't believe that. And they want to, it's an election year. They want to pump us through full of sunshine, and they want us to be shiny, happy people. But the problem is this is not a shiny, happy subject. And we want somebody to say, you know what? We've got this. We've got this under control, and we're not going to allow this to happen to our country. And we're going to shut down our borders, and we're going to protect our people. And they're not. They're failing us.
And this. And do you hear any of the people who are running for election jumping up and saying, Ebola's my issue, you'll see me take charge?
No.
Not one.
Nope.
It is time to hold them accountable. And folks, we are very passionate about this. And shutting down the borders is often, the rhetoric is that you are anti-immigration, that you're anti-poor, that you're anti-something. There is no anti here. This is about protecting American lives. This is about strengthening our country. This is about doing what we should have done decades ago that politicians have on both sides of the aisle. I will not have anyone call this show and say, well, you guys are just anti-Democrat, or you're anti-Republican, or you're anti-somebody. We are not anti-anybody, but we are anti-people who will not step up and take responsibility that their office and their oath of office is they're beholden to. They are supposed to be protecting us. They are supposed to be taking care.
That is their first obligation.
And they have
is
they
to
have,
protect the people they represent.
They have kicked the can down the road. And the next time someone says, well, you don't like immigrants if you don't want to close the borders, say, no, I don't want to die from the next pandemic. And if we have control of our borders, when the time comes for the next pandemic, we'll be ready.
We can let people in when we need to, when we're able to, when they're healthy and prove healthy and they're not bringing Ebola in. It's not a don't let them in at all. It's a screen them before they're allowed to come here.
It's about securing our nation in a meaningful way. And, you know, have you ever heard...
It also stops some of that terrorism threat we've got going on with ISIS or ISIL or whatever you want to call it. Depends on what day of the week and who you're talking to.
Exactly. Folks, our time, this show is just flying by, and we want to take a moment to recognize our keynote sponsors at True Prep. They have done a fantastic job of keeping us on the air, keeping things going here, getting important news and important guests out to you. And True Prep is the Atlanta's premier preparedness store. This is a place where you can go and get ready for everything.
And I was talking to the owners of True Prep the other day, and they have just put in an order for... and received some brand new shiny PPE.
What is PPE, Aaron?
Personal protective equipment. And this is what Dr. Mobley wore into the airport when he wrote the CDC is lying on the back of it.
Are there some...
Which, by the way, Delta confiscated his PPE, which I thought was really messed up.
Yeah.
But theirs does not have any writing about the CDC.
So you can write whatever you want on the back.
You can write whatever you want. I mean, you can write shiny, happy people. It doesn't matter. But this is what I believe is the product of the week this week. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yes.
The extensive line of Tyvek suits, of
respirators,
gas masks, goggles, cleaning products, everything that you need. Everything you need you can get at True Prep. Not only for threats like Ebola, but also your cancer. canning supplies, your long-term storage food, even, you know, other emergency equipment, everything you need.
I want to mention freeze-dried food for a minute and go, you know, we're coming up. We could have a pandemic. We could have some time where people are ordered not to go out of their homes. Make sure you got food in your house.
Whether it's freeze-dried, whether it's canned, whether it's Chef Boyardee, make sure that you and
just
your
make
family.
Sure it's not Wise. That stuff's disgusting.
Yeah, well, I guess we're not sponsored by Wise. But,
we are not.
The truth is that everything that we've always said about, you know, food, water, shelter comes into play in any kind of emergency. The idea of a pandemic is particularly frightening, and there are some extra steps that can be taken to make sure that you're safe and healthy. But we do not need to be afraid. There is not a person who cannot be prepared for an epidemic, cannot be prepared for a tornado, cannot be prepared for a hurricane, cannot be prepared for a fire, cannot be prepared for a job loss. We can take the steps we need to be ready for anything, to never live in fear, to make sure our families never have to be afraid of what's coming. You're going to see in the upcoming weeks and the things that are going on with this pandemic, where you're going to see a lot of fear-mongering.
When you live in fear, that's when you make the mistakes that will kill you.
Exactly. This show is not about fear-mongering. This show is about making people proud and able to handle whatever comes next.
That's right.
And we are not, as a nation, as a society, as a people, and those are separate things. As all of that, we are not going to live in fear. We are going to make a choice to be prepared and to make those who are responsible for our safety, our elected representatives, accountable and hold their feet to the fire this election. Call everybody who's running for office. If you have somebody who is running for Senate and one-third of this country does, call the candidates and make them make a pledge. I want to see newspapers holding candidates accountable to make a pledge to safeguard this country, to do what's necessary. And not shift the bill, not say the buck stops somewhere else, but to take a personal pledge of accountability that they will do what's necessary to keep this country safe, including strengthening our borders, including properly funding places that are working for research and for medical needs, and that we actually do what's necessary to keep people safe. Public education, getting people to be more self-reliant, getting people excited about the prospects of being self-reliant and taking care of themselves. These are all things that we need to do as individuals, and we need to make sure that our government understands that we expect this in every form and every way that they can possibly provide.
I believe that air transit should be shut down
from
affected areas, specifically West Africa. And that if our president is not willing to do that, then our representative should step up and force him to.
Yes, absolutely.
Because he's not upholding his oath. He's not protecting us.
We've seen a president who's willing to issue an executive order about just about anything.
Oh, yeah.
And yet when it comes to something that is crucial to American security and the American way of life and protecting American lives, it's... Well, we got to wait and see, and I'm going to leave this up to some other agency, and we're not going to take, you know, and I don't care what side, what political party he's from. If you're not going to step up and take responsibility on things that are important like this, you're willing to send, you know, troops into Africa. I can understand that. I see that that has some value.
I see that's the setup for them to declare martial law in the United States when we have a breakout of it here. It seems like very delicate planning of how they're going to declare martial law here.
Well, I hope that it will be the first steps to ending a tragic moment of humanitarian suffering. I hope that the military over there is going to be able to maintain quarantines that were not available through their own systems of health and military action. But you may be right. I don't know. I would tend to disagree that there is at least some logic to shutting down the spread of the infection in these other beleaguered countries, but it's possible. And I don't know what the end result of all this is going to be, but I know that we will not live in fear. We are going to take care of ourselves. We are going to hold elected representatives accountable, and I want every single listener to this show to call your representative, especially your House of Representatives delegate. The people in the House of Representatives, all 435 of them are up for election in less than a month. Every one of them wants to keep their seat, hold their feet to the fire, make them make a statement, and do not let them get away with it. If the rest of the media, if the the people out there, you know, from the local newspapers and the local TV stations aren't going to do it, call them and hold their political reporters to the fire and say, why aren't you getting pledges about Ebola? Why aren't you making the candidates make a campaign trail promise about what they're going to do? If the reporters won't do it, you do it. Somebody has to make sure that this is not going to get out of control. And it's going to be up to all of the people in every city to hold their representatives accountable.
I believe that the first step is to make our representatives protect us. And the only way to do that is to hold them accountable. But we should be holding them accountable on every issue, not just this one.
Folks, send us your comments and questions to info@readyradio.net, or you can contact either of us personally, Aaron@readyradio.net or Doug@readyradio.net. Check out our website. Listen to our old podcasts. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter feed has been kind of quiet because a lot of places aren't talking about Ebola right now. And that is absolutely astounding and frightening and terrifying to me that mainstream media is taking a break. But you get your news here. We're always up to date. This is Ready Radio on News Talk 1160. The talk of the town.
You've been listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Tune in each week as Doug and Aaron get you ready for anything that comes your way. Ready Radio, Saturday mornings at 8, only on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.